Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I mean, it is such an awesome, awesome spirit that's in this place. It's good to be with you again tonight and to see what God is having us do. Man, I love those songs, Brother Mundy. My goodness. And choir. Just to worship God. Man, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. You know, Pastor was talking about volunteering. You know, I can remember 1969, Brother Schumacher. I was sitting at home. I was watching the television. And all of a sudden, an Army commercial came on. If you're good enough to get in, you'll serve your country well. If you're good enough to get in, you'll travel far and wide. Oh, the future can be yours in the new Action Army. If you think you're good enough to get on the team, then a brighter future can be yours. And guess what? I volunteered. But through that one step of volunteering, the Army led me around the world that I would have never thought. Because of that one step of volunteering, God led me to a Little Green Home Missions Church in Wisconsin Dells, where I heard the truth of the gospel for the first time. And from that little church, God took me to Wiesbaden, Germany. And when I signed for my housing and I walked into my stairwell to go to my house, there was mailboxes on the wall. And when I unlocked the one because I thought it was filled with trash, and when I opened it, out fell all these tracts. Why I needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, while I needed to have the Holy Ghost, 100 scriptures to the oneness of God. And me and my wife began to go to church under our missionaries, Brother Wayne Nye, there in Wiesbaden, Germany. And one day I was on temporary duty in Kaiserslautern, Germany. You can be seated. I was on in temporary duty in Kaiserslautern, Germany, and God began to deal with my heart. And he showed me who he was and while I needed to be baptized in his name. And I came home that Friday. I called our missionary and I says, I think you need to come and talk to me, if you would, sir, about baptism in Jesus' name. And he came to the house, and every scripture he had started to open and read, I said, yep, I already know it. God has already showed it to me. That Sunday when I got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, when I came up out of the water, it was like something hit me straight between the eyes. Amen. And I could not stop weeping. I couldn't stop crying. Amen. For what the Lord was doing in my life at that moment. And there was a message in tongues interpretation. God says, I will use you and you will bring many people to me. Just that one step of volunteered has led me to this point in my life. You never, never know what's going to transpire when you take a step of volunteered. Amen. That child that you're helping with in kindergarten or the toddler class is one day going to grow up and be an adult. The Lord tarries. And that could be the next missionary. That could be the next pastor. Amen. For your great, great, great grandchildren. So let me encourage you. Amen. Volunteer. We're seeking for volunteers in all areas of ministry. So let me encourage you to, amen, get involved. See what God will do. Amen. Teaching home Bible studies. Volunteering to do that. Amen. Just be the house by the side of the road. Amen. Amen. When I was in sixth grade, my sixth grade teacher made me memorize that poem. The house by the side of the road. There are hermit souls that live withdrawn with their place, with their peace, with their self-content. Their souls like stars that dwell apart in this fellowless firmament. There are pioneer souls that blaze their path where the highways have never ran. but let me live in the house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Somebody is going to pass by your house where you live. You have to be a friend to share the love of God with them. Amen. To help get them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Be moved with compassion like Jesus. He was moved with compassion everywhere he went. Amen. And if you're moved with compassion, you're starting to carry your cross. Amen. When you resist evil so that you can be righteous, you're carrying your cross. When you're obedient to the word of God and those that are over you, you are carrying your cross. When you submit yourself to every ordinance of God and to them that are over you, you are carrying your cross. When you have a servant's heart, amen, you are carrying your cross. Amen. Daily. So pick up your cross and carry it today. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God's good to you? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so good to see our dear friends, brother and sister Schumacher again. Amen. To be with them as well. You guys are so blessed. You got great leaders and things are going good. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through verse 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through verse 39. Amen. And I pray this morning was a blessing to you from the word of God. Amen. To hold on to the word of God, to open your mouth continually with praise and allow God to fill us with the Spirit. Amen. That is, there's so much God has for us. Amen. You know, as I was sharing with Pastor at lunchtime, can you imagine being David? He's outside, you know, tending to his father's sheep. You know, probably never king, being a king, never crossed his mind. Never even in his portfolio in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And he's out there taking care of the sheep, and then all of a sudden, his brother says, "Hey, man, Dad wants you at the house." He comes to the house, and the prophet anoint him the next king. And then he leaves and go back to take care of the sheep. He's probably still, "Oh, okay, you know, just pull the oil on my head, whatever, you know." And then all of a sudden, one day, Dad calls him out from the sheep. "Son, come here 1 minute. All right, take this cheese and bread down to your brothers and check them out and see how they're doing." He goes down, and Goliath decided to come out the day he's out there, you know. And he takes matters into his hands, right? And that start his kingship, amen, from that point. You never know what God has in store for you, man. You got to love him. You got to build a relationship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. Scripture says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet in a little while, and he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Amen. And I want to minister to you from a few moments tonight from this thought: cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence. Jesus, I thank you again tonight, Lord. We thank you for the spirit that we feel in this place. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay with us, God. We need you more than anything, God, right now, Lord. Direct our steps, God. We trust in you, and we lean not to our own understanding, but we lean on you. Will you ask him for your healing touch to flow in this place tonight, God? You know all things that are needed, Jesus, and we pray that you would touch in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated to praise God. I'm reminded of a story of back in the days before automobiles, amen, and farming was unique out west in Texas area, and an old farmer was out plowing his mule and trying to get himself situated to get his grain in the ground and get his crops planted, amen, and all of a sudden he realized that he has ran short of some grain. So the farmer realized that he needed to go into town to get some extra grain so he could finish planting his seed for the harvest time. And so he goes into town with his old mule, and he rides into town, and he gets there by the store where it sells the seeds. And all of a sudden, he looks and he realized the time is growing nigh. And so he realized, maybe I need to go ahead and get myself a little lunch while I'm here before I get the seed and go back to the farm and plant my seed. So he took his old mule and he came over next to the store of the saloon to where he could get himself a meal. And as he was coming off this old mule and getting ready to walk in, an old cowboy, young cowboy, walked out half drunk and looked at him and says, "Farmer, have you ever danced before?" And the old farmer says, "No, I have never danced before." Young cowboy said, "Well, you're going to dance today." So he reached and grabs his six-shooter, and he pulls it out, and he starts shooting down towards the farmer's feet, and the farmer began to dance around a little bit, and he wasted all his bullets shooting at the farmer's feet. So when the farmer realized that he was finished, the farmer walked over to his mule and opened his saddlebag and reached in and pulled out a sawed-off shotgun. He walked back over to the young cowboy and put it up to his head and says, "Cowboy, have you ever kissed a mule?" The cowboy says, "No, I haven't, but I sure been thinking about it." Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. You see, we must continue to trust God in all points of our lives. Jesus has given us power, and we must realize the reliability that God has given us this power for. Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the whole earth." Amen. You have more power in you than you know what to do with. Amen. You don't need to be discouraged. You don't need to be downtrodden. You need to be lifted up. The Bible says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. We need to lift up our heads and our hands to the Lord. Excuse me. Praise God. You see, the enemy of your soul, the only thing he can do is wear you out and wear you down. Jesus says to Peter in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat." He says, "But I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." You see, Jesus did not pray for Peter's flesh. He prayed for his faith, because the enemy of your soul knows that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Daniel says he will speak great words against the Most High and try to wear out the saints of the Most High. So all the enemy can do to you is torment you and try to get you to throw in the towel and quit and to walk away yourself. But as I told you this morning, disappointment comes to every one of us, but discouragement is a choice. You make the choice if you're going to be discouraged. You make the choice if you're going to quit. Jesus has given you power and sustainability to keep running this race with patience, looking unto him, which is the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't throw away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward.
Amen. We have a treasure, Paul says, in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of Christ and not of us. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, yet not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ might be manifested as in us. Amen. He says the outward man perish, but yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The light afflictions, which is working in you only for a moment, but they are working a more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. Amen. God has something better for you, so don't you cast away your confidence. You've got to stay in the race. You've got to keep looking unto Jesus. Paul says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, so that when Jesus, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Praise God. Don't cast away your confidence. It's got a great reward attached to it. Heaven is at stake. Amen. If you're thinking about going to heaven, then you need to not throw away or cast away your confidence. Only thing the enemy can do, as I said, is wear you out and wear you down. Think about this for a moment. The Bible says that Goliath came out and tormented Israel 40 days. All he did was come out and just tormented them. Give me a man. Give me a man. Constantly for 40 days. Now, you would have thought somebody that big and with that much armor would not have needed an armor bearer. But Goliath had an armor bearer. And you would have thought if somebody is that big and that bad, they'd have just walked down into the camp of Israel and did what needed to be done. But what did he do? He came so far and stopped and just tormented them for 40 days. That's all the enemy can do. He knows he can only come so far because you have the blood of Jesus Christ around you. And as long as the blood is around you, the enemy can only come so far. He has to torment you from a distance. So don't you give up your confidence. Don't focus on the things of the world right now, because if you do, it's going to wear you out and wear you down. You've got to understand what Jesus says. When all these things start happening, he says, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. You got to get ready for that Eastern call. You need to get ready for the soon coming of the Lord. Don't you cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. Praise God. You've got to get fully persuaded in these last days that nothing, Paul says, shall be able to separate me from the love of God. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. If things can separate you from God, it's closer to God than you are. Think about it. Are you persuaded? See, you have to be fully persuaded that nothing is going to stop you from praising God.
Nothing is going to stop you from worshiping God. Nothing is going to stop you from being in the house of God. Nothing is going to stop you from reading your word of God. Nothing is going to stop you from prayer. Nothing is going to be able to stop you. You have to be fully persuaded. When you look at Paul's life, Paul says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Twice I was stoned. Amen. He says, a day and a night I've been in the deep. Amen. And journeying often, and perils of robbers, and perils of heathen, and perils in the city, and perils upon false brethren, and perils in danger, and danger, and danger. But he says, none of those things moved me. Neither did I count my life dear to me, that I may finish my course and the ministry which I had received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of the gospel of God. See, you've got a calling upon you, and you cannot allow the enemy to stop you, amen, from doing what God is calling you to do. Don't you cast away your confidence. It's got a great reward attached to it. Praise God. Hold on. He will come. That will come. And will not tarry. The just has got to live by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the words of God, so that the things which are seen was not made by the things which thus appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he received witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by them he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things seen, not as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called of God, went out into a country that he would later receive that a heritage, obeyed, went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the same heirs of the promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Are you looking for that city whose builder and maker is God? There's a city far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. It will faithful, we shall go there by and by. It is the city where the Lamb is the light. We're going to a place. We're going to a better place. But you can't cast away your confidence. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to hold on. Change is coming. Hold on. Don't worry about a thing. Paul says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us that remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Watch this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You need to get in the habit of encouraging people where we're going. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels are beckoning me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Don't cast away your confidence. It's got a great recompense of reward. Amen. In Mark chapter 5,
we see Mark begin to expose us to some stories. First is Jairus. Jairus, as soon as Jesus steps on the shore, Jairus came to Jesus. He bowed down and he began to worship Jesus. And he says, Master, you can come. My daughter is homesick. And Jesus says, I will come and heal her. And as he's coming, the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Because you see, she had wasted all her money on doctors. She had her condition of blood for 12 years. And all the scripture says, everything she tried, she just got worse and worse. But notice, she never cast away her confidence. She says, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. And because she had the faith to believe that if she touched Jesus and she pressed her way through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her blood condition, which she had for 12 years, stopped. And Jesus stopped and says, who touched me? And the disciple says, Lord, everybody is thrown in you. You see that everybody is touching you. Jesus says, no, somebody touched me, for I felt virtue go out of my womb, out of my body. And as a result, he turns around and he sees her. And she comes trembling and fall to him and tells him everything that has transpired. And Jesus says, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. She was looking for healing, but notice what Jesus says. Your faith has made you whole. You might think you just need to be healed of your arm, but Jesus knows that you need to be completely whole. You might just think you need to be healed in your stomach, but Jesus knows there's other things going on, and you need to be completely whole. And as Jesus turned to walk, they said to Jairus, don't trouble the master. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus heard it, and he says, be not faithless. Just believe. What Jesus is saying is, you came to me. You believe I had the power to heal her? Don't you go away your confidence right now. And Jesus came to his house. He put all the mourners out, and he walked in with Peter and James and John, and he walked to that young girl, and he says, Tabitha Coma, I say rise. And immediately she got up. If Jairus would have thrown away his confidence, just think about it. His daughter would have probably remained dead. I don't know what you're going through, but don't you throw away your confidence. It's got a great reward attached to it. He that will come and will not tarry. The just has got to live by faith. You've got to hold on in the storm of life. You've got to hold on in the disappointing news that you get from the doctor. You've got to wait upon the Lord. And again, I say wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise God. Don't throw away your confidence. Think of Ruth, sisters. Here she is. She's lost her father-in-law. She's lost her brother-in-law. And she's lost her husband. And her mother-in-law turns to her and says, you can go back to your family. She says, I'm too old. I'm not going to have any more kids that you can have a husband. Orpah left and goes home. Ruth looks at her and says, treat me not to leave you. She said, where you go, I'm going to go. Your people is going to be your people. Your God is going to be my God. Where you die, that's where I'm going to die, and that's where I'm going to be buried. The only thing that's going to separate you and me is death. And when she made up her mind, when Naomi saw that she was committed and that she was fully persuaded, she stopped trying to stop her from coming with her. And when Ruth came into the city of Bethlehem, she went out in the field and she started working with Boaz. Amen. And Boaz took notice of her. Amen. And as a result, he tells her, don't go into any other field. Amen.
can't just come here when it's time to eat and dip your bread in the vinegar here and eat with my maid is. And he began to take notice of her. And through the process of time, they began to get to know each other a little bit better. And they wound up and got married. And they had a son. And they called his name Obed, which is the father of Jesse, which is the father of King David, which is the father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. Think about it. If she'd have stayed in Moab, she'd probably never been in the lineage line of Jesus Christ. Don't you throw away your confidence. You are in the lineage line of Christ if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and been filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to a better place. We're not going to stay here. We're going somewhere where the city is the light. Don't you cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. Praise God. Are you persuaded? Are you fully persuaded that what God says he will do, he will do? Come on, don't cast away your confidence. It's got a great reward attached to it. Just hold on in the storm. Jesus puts his disciples in the boat and said, let's go to the other side. He gets in the hinder part of the ship and go to sleep. And all of a sudden a storm comes up. And the more water coming in the ship, that has always perplexed me, Brother Portman. The Bible says the ship's full of water, but it ain't sinking. Think about it. Amen. And Jesus is in the hinder part of sleep. It doesn't even wake him up. They had to wake him up. And the disciples says, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He stands. He rebuked the wind, calmed the seas. And then he turned to the disciples and says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, you can't throw away your faith. You can't throw away your confidence just because there's a storm in your life. Just because things is going wrong in your life, you don't throw away your confidence in God. You hold on to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and have heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. With stammering lips and another tongue, he says, this is the rest which are called the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold on. Just because you got a D in class yesterday, teenagers, don't throw away your confidence. Go back and study, and you'll pass the next time. I've been there, did that. Hello? Just because you get rejected, don't throw away your confidence. You're not going to go through anything that Jesus hadn't gone through. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it was our face from him. Amen. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him smitten and stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. He's already set the pace for us. He's already showed us what can happen when you stay the course and you don't give up and you don't throw in the towel and quit. Come on. He didn't bring you out to leave you. He brought you out to carry you in. You've got to be fully persuaded. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that the patriarchs, watch this, they was fully persuaded. Amen. That what God said he would do, he would do it. Think about Abraham for just a moment. When you read that, when God tells Abraham to offer up Isaac, he doesn't balk. He doesn't waver. He says, let's go. Amen. Gets his servants. He goes 3 days to Mount Moriah. He gets there. He tells his servants, stay here. me and the lad is going yonder and worship and come back again. Wait a minute, Abraham. You're supposed to be going up to sacrifice him. Last time I checked, sacrifice me killing. And that's what Isaac felt. That's what Isaac saw. He saw the fire. He saw the wood. He saw the knife. He says, Dad, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Notice, God will provide himself, amen, not something else, himself a sacrifice, amen. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received back up in the glory. He's the sacrifice. That's why the writer of Hebrews 11 says, when Abraham was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. Isaac was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. That's why Abraham was not afraid to offer up Isaac. He knew, he had already realized when God told him he was going to have Isaac when he was 100 years old. He believed God. He realized there's nothing too hard for God. So when God told him to offer Isaac, he knew if I kill him, God has got to raise him up. Why? Because God had already told him that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So if he kill him, he's not going to have a seed. But God says, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Praise God. You got to be persuaded that what God says in his word, he's going to do it. The just has got to live by faith. Amen. When God promised, he's able to do what he says he will do. Just hold on. I've been young, now I've been old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsake, nor his seed begging for bread. You don't think David was discouraged? You ever watch Psalms 42? As the heart pant for the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul's thirst for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears has been my meat day and night. Why they continue to say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, he said, I pour out my soul within me. Because I went with them, he said. I went to the house of God with the multitude. With them, with joy and praise, with them that kept a holy day. Do you know what David is saying? I went to church. That's what he's saying. I went to church with everybody else. And then he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Don't you hope in God? For I yet shall praise him who is the help of my countenance. He says, oh, my Lord, my soul is so cast down in me when I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, and Mount Mizar. He says, deep, call it upon deep at the noise of thy water spout. He says, all thy waves and billows is gone over me. But watch this. The Lord will direct his loving kindness in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. He says, in the morning, God will command his loving kindness. And in the night, his song will be with me. And I will direct my prayer to the God of my life. And I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why I go mourning all the day long? Amen. As an arrow in my bones. Why the enemy continues reproach me daily, saying, where's God? He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Don't you trust God? He says, I'm going to praise him, who's the help of my countenance and my God.
My God is bigger than all my questions, bigger than all my fears. He is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. Yes, he's bigger than any mountain that I can and cannot see. How big is your God? Come on. Is there anything too hard for God? Don't you cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. Come on, you can do this thing. What did David say? By my God, I can run through a troop. Can you still leap over a wall? When he was in the army, we could leap over a wall. But I guarantee you, we can't do it now. Amen. Come on, think about it. You can't quit. There's a great reward waiting on you. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the righteous judge shall give unto me. And not only to me, but to all them that's long for his appearing. You've got a crown of righteousness that is waiting for you. You've got a crown of joy that's waiting for you. Don't you throw away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. Thing. We all have the same spirit. You know what Paul told Timothy? Stir up the gift that's in you. Anytime you start feeling discouraged, stir it up. Amen. Start worshiping God. Start magnifying the Lord. Every time the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit will lift up a standard against him. All you've got to do is lift up holy hands and say, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And then pretty soon, things are going to change. Great recompense of reward. And I'm going to close with this in John chapter 5. The Bible says there is a pool on Solomon's porch. Amen. And in it lay impotent folks, blind, halt, withered, maimed, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. Because of a season, the angels came down and troubled the water, and whoever was the first to get in was made completely whole. And the Bible says there was a man laying there that had been there for 38 years. And Jesus walked straight to him and says, will you be made whole? And he says, sir, when the water is troubled, he says, I'm coming. I'm trying to be the first one get there. He says, just before I get a step in, somebody else steps in before me. I have no man to help me get in. Think about it. Would you have crawled every time for 38 years? Somewhere after getting this close to being the first and somebody else beat me to it, I probably would have lost my confidence. I'd have probably says, well, I ain't got nobody to help me get in, Sister Schumacher, so there ain't no need of me going, keep going. I've been down to that altar. They called for us to come up to pray numerous times. I've gone to that altar hundreds of times, and I'm still sick. I've never been healed. So we sit back, and then we don't come anymore. Well, they calling, but I've been there. I did it. It ain't going to happen. So what happened? You throw away your confidence. And Jesus says to the man, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he reached down, took up his bed and walked. And guess where he went? Straight to church. He goes straight to the synagogue. And when Jesus finds him in the synagogue, Jesus said, oh, you're made whole. He says, look, don't sin again lest something worse happen to you. So his 38 years laying on that porch was because of his sin. See, sin will put you in a place that you don't want to be in. Sin will render you crawling. It will render you not able to stand up, then not be able to worship God. See, that's why we are commanded to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises to you and to your children and to all that are far off. See, we have to eradicate sin out of our lives. Paul says, if you've been risen with Christ, then seek those things above, for we are buried with Christ by baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we shall also walk in newness of life. Amen. We don't walk in the ways of the world. We now walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. We walk holy. We walk pure. We walk righteous. Amen. You don't go back to the world. That's the dog returning to his vomit that Solomon talks about. You must now build your relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can be used by him. He can use you for the kingdom and glory of God. Praise God. Cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Excuse me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't throw away your confidence. When you read Luke chapter 18 and 19, Jesus is passing through Bethany. He's on his way out of town. And as he's passing out, passed through, the crowd is making a whole lot of noise. And sitting beside the wayside was a blind man named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus says, "What's going on?" Somebody says, "Jesus is passing by." And he began to cry out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd told him to be quiet, hold your peace. But he got louder, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus says, "What will you have me to do?" He says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus says, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Notice, he didn't cast away his confidence. When people told him to be quiet, he got louder. As I said, Jesus said this morning, "You open your mouth, I'll feel it." Come on today. Don't cast away your confidence. He will come. Whatever you need. Maybe you've been down here 1,000 times. Don't stop. Don't stop praising. Today could be your day. Today could be the day that life has changed for you. Today could be the day to start your ministry. Just don't throw away your confidence today. Hallelujah. It's got a great reward attached to it.